do want to say we have a handout for the lesson this evening, and we want to follow along with the lesson that is designed to help us to better be better Christians and to follow God's Word and to do what's right. And we're going to study tonight a lesson that is entitled, How Do We Please God? And I hope that this lesson will help us give a better understanding of what it means to please God in a way that doing things that are especially those that God approves of, that we have everything that we're doing is right in His sight. And so we're going to look at this lesson, How Do We Please God? Our lesson text is taken from Hebrews 11, verse 5. Here the Bible says, By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. You ever thought about what it takes to really do that? To do what, like men like Enoch and Noah and Abraham, those who were, in the Bible calls them ones who pleased God, who were faithful in everything they did. How Moses and all those men of long ago, how that Hebrews 11 speaks about how they did those things. You and I are to learn from those examples. We're to learn how we can do what God wants. Just like Enoch, I believe we can please God. I believe we can have a life that is determined, if we're going to determine that we're going to do all we can to please God. First point I want to look at, just like we said in Hebrews 11, verse 5, Enoch pleased God because he had faith. And the Bible tells us that when we walk by faith, that is the point, isn't it? And we cannot please God without having faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. The very next verse from Hebrews 11, verse 5 is verse 6. How is it that Enoch pleased God? Verse 6 tells us. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and is rewarded of them that diligently seek Him. That's how it is we please God. Without a deep, abiding faith in God, we will not want to serve Him at all. You know, it takes faith to believe that there is a God that will reward us one day for a diligent service to Him. And that's why we understand that everything we do, because we're here this evening, because we want to please God, we want to do what's right. And that's because we have faith in the one true and living God above, who is really the one we serve in this life. You know, faithfulness has never pleased God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 3, if you will. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll find that here is an example for us of unfaithfulness by the Israelites. And verse 17 beginning. Hebrews 3, verse 17. Read down to the end of the chapter. Here the Bible says, But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Now I'll stop right there and ask, what did they do? They complained, they wanted to go back to Egypt. They did many things that showed their unfaithfulness, their unbelief in God. That's why it was that they sinned against God by not trusting in Him, by not believing in Him, that He could take them to the promised land, that He would give them that promised land. Now let's continue, verse 18. And to whom sware He that they should not enter into His rest, but to them that believed not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief is the opposite of pleasing God. It takes faith. It takes the kind of faith that I believe that God is, and I'm going to serve Him to the very day I leave this world. And if we have that kind of faith, it's the kind of faith that pleases God. God wants that kind of faith. You know, to be pleasing to God, we must get rid of some things. You know, we must get rid of skepticism. You know, when we don't believe the miracles of the Bible, there's some who are skeptical. We call them skeptics. And for this, they don't believe, well, maybe some of the miracles Jesus did were right. Maybe some of the things the Bible speaks of are true. But, you know, there's some things I just can't believe. Some might say, well, about the fish swallowing Jonah. And they may say, I just can't get past that, how he lived inside that belly of the fish for that long. And some are skeptical when it comes to the miracles that Jesus turning water into wine and raising Lazarus from the dead. And they say those things could not take place. You know, to be pleasing to God, we have to believe in the miracles that Jesus said. We take these things by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, as the Bible tells us. And we've got to not doubt that the things of God are true, that every word of God is the God-breathed word by inspiration. Unfaithfulness. When we start to be unfaithful, start to not believe and lose that faith in God, You know, you can tell when your faith in God grows cold, when we start to miss services like we sometimes do. There's an unfaithfulness because we're not interested in pleasing God like we should. And Hebrews 10, verse 38 tells us, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Now what is this drawing back? I believe it's a shrinking back. It's one that says, well, I believed at one time, but I'm not going to be as faithful as like I used to be. You know, the Hebrew writer was talking about those in chapters 10 and those it talks about in chapter 10 about those who were unfaithful in assembling like they should. And so that's one thing we've got to do in order to please God. We've got to show that kind of faith that lives. We practice what we preach. We live by our faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest to you tonight that one way we please God, when we make it the goal of our life, you've got to put it in your mind that I'm going to please God. Because that's what God wants us to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, here the Bible says in verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him." That's the New King James version of this scripture. But it tells us it's our aim. What is our aim? Something we're shooting for. Something is our goal to do. And so Paul said his aim or his goal was to be pleasing to God. Whether present or absent, he wanted to be pleasing to God in all things. And we've got to make that our goal. You need to set your heart upon pleasing God. Because if we do not do that, then we will not please God like we should. Now, pleasing God must be the only goal that really matters. There's a lot of goals we might have. Some might want to please self, but that's not the kind of goal we need to have. In Romans 15, verses 1 to 3, Paul speaks about those who simply don't want to please God but themselves. Romans chapter 15, if you will. Take your Bibles and turn over there. And we'll read what Paul says here. It says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Notice that he says, don't please ourselves. "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." You know, if Christ came to please himself, he would not have gone to the cross. If he'd have done what's best for his interest, he would not have been to the cross. And you know, one of the prerequisites of discipleship was, one of the things a man absolutely had to do is it's told us in Matthew 16, verse 24, where the Bible tells Jesus, said, "If any man come unto me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And Luke adds daily. This is a daily thing. We've got to follow God by putting self behind us. And so we're not to please ourselves, as the Bible tells us, but also not to please our family. In Matthew 10, verse 37, Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother, son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And so we can't please our family. Now, family might want us to do something that's contrary to the Scriptures, contrary to the Word of God. And we've got to choose God's way above our family. And there's times we've got to make tough decisions, difficult decisions. And there's people who have had to do this down through the ages. There have been some that say, "Well, you know, my family doesn't want me to be a member of the Church of Christ." We've got to go against that in order to be a faithful child of God in God's kingdom today. And so we've got to not please our family or not pleasing men. As 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24. Remember the story of King Saul, how he came back and he had all these sheep and oxen and he brought back King Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And here the Bible tells us, though, that Samuel confronted him and he confessed that he had transgressed the word of God. And he tells us why it was in verse 24. It says, "Because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." You know, we must have leaders that aren't afraid to stand up and do what's right, no matter what the people say. You know, our job is not to please the men or the people, but to please God. And in this case, King Saul did not please God, but pleased the people. In Galatians 1, verse 10, Paul said here, Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Now he's talking about his job as an apostle and as a preacher and going around spreading the good news of the gospel. How he said, "I'm not going to please men in that." You know, he would say things when he come to Mars Hill. He'd tell them about idolatry and how sinful it was. How it was not the true way to serve God by serving idols. Talked about the one true God. He wasn't pleasing them when he did that. He simply told them the truth. And that was what they needed to hear about the one true God of the Bible, Jehovah Himself. And also in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, here Paul said about some, says, "Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." And that is the point, isn't it? God knows our hearts. He knows exactly when we're doing right and when we're doing wrong. And so we cannot do anything but speak as the oracles of God. And if it does not please men, then it must be so, because we're not to obey God, like Peter said in Acts chapter 5. We ought to obey God rather than men. And so, you know, Jesus had this goal while He was here on this earth. In John 8, verse 29, the Bible says, here Jesus speaking Himself says, "And He that sent Me is with Me. The Father hath not left Me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." You know, His goal was to do everything that pleased the Father. And I believe He's a great example for us to look and see what pleases the Father by doing everything we can to do what God wants. In Matthew 3, verse 17, remember when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist? And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came and descended, and the Bible says God spoke. And what did He say about His Son? He says, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, why did God say that? Because Jesus had the right attitude of service, of pleasing God, doing what's right, living by every word of God. And we must not let worldly affairs distract us from our service to God. Let's look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. Here Paul was speaking to Timothy, and he was giving Timothy some good advice, as Timothy was a young evangelist. He was one who preached the Word of God. And he tells Timothy this, that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please, notice that may please Him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now he's talking about the army terms here. How this is a man who's enlisted in the army, and now he has somebody over top of him in authority, like when a person goes into the army. They are not the one at the top head when they first go into the army. And they have somebody who's higher in authority, and even higher than that person. So there is a rank in authority. And we understand that we must do what the person who tells us to go to battle and do what he says to, we not to distract ourselves. You know, if we go to a war, we start pulling out the newspaper, we start pulling out pictures and photo albums while everybody else is in combat and fighting, that would not be pleasing to those who enlisted us as a soldier. So we've got to fight hard. We've got to do what we can to serve in the military when that is the case. And Paul uses that as an example for us in the Christian war today. We've got to not entangle ourselves. In other words, get so wrapped up and tied up in worldly affairs that we're too busy to serve God like we should. You know, we should not let things of the world distract us from our true mission in serving God. But then also I want to suggest to you tonight that how we please God is when we no longer serve sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to read the first 10 verses of that chapter. Here Paul says about the Corinthians, about the Israelites again, as an example for us. He told this to the Corinthians because he wanted them to learn from this. He says in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, but how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters as some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them also them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." And this tells us in verse 11. I'm going to read this last verse. It says, "Now all these things happen unto them for in samples that they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." We need to learn the lesson that sin displeases God. When we stop that sin, that is what God wants. He wants us to get out of sin, stop the sinning business in order to be pleasing to Him. In Romans 8 and verse 8, the Bible says, "So then that are in the flesh cannot please God." And that is the case. Long as we're in the flesh, minding the things of the flesh, living a carnal lifestyle, a lifestyle that's sensual one, and that we're just doing whatever we want that's sinful, that contrary to the commands of God, we can never please God doing that way. That lifestyle is not one we could ever suggest if we want to please God. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, here Paul once again says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God. So ye would abound more and more, for ye know that what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." He's telling them how they are to please God, by abstaining from fornication. "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." You know, these brethren needed that because they had grown up as idolaters, thinking that carnal, sinful things, is just like fornication, was something they could involve themselves in. Like the Corinthians, Paul had to tell them also that not to commit fornication in that way. But he says in verse 4, "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now in the lust, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. And we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness." And that is the point, isn't it? When God calls us, He wants us to live a certain way, a godly way. And we not to give up sin in order to really do that and be pleasing in His sight. But then also I want to suggest to you tonight that God is pleased when we sacrifice from the heart. Did you know that there's times when God shows us by example of the Israelites again? I know that's something we can read and learn about. But God was not pleased with Israel's offerings. In Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 through 10. Here the Bible talks about them as a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Now notice verse 8 says, and if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Now I'll stop right there. I'll simply tell you this. He simply makes this point. That if you give the worst that you have to somebody like the governor, he will not accept that. He will not be pleased with that. Do you know, when we sacrifice, we ought to give the best that we have. We ought to say, I'm going to please God by giving the best of what I have. And that's the kind of offering that God wants. And we can look to Israel as an offering that was not the way God wants it to be. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 and 16, here the Bible talks about the sacrifices that we give. He says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. That's instructions for you and I today, that we will do this in order to be pleasing to God. Let's look at verse 16. It says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And so we look at the sacrifices we give. You know, we might look at giving on the first day of the week and singing praises to God and really giving, doing all these from the heart. And that's something that when we do these things, God is well pleased with what we do. As 1 Peter 2 verse 5 tells us, that we're the lively stones that are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And what is acceptable? When we do this from the heart, we sacrifice, we give of our means like we should. And also I want to suggest to you that when we obey God, this is how we please Him. When we give Him our obedience to Him. 1 Samuel 15:22. Here Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Now he's making a point. You know, just to give sacrifice and it doesn't mean anything, that's not as good as simply obeying what God said. And King Saul had not done what God said because he brought back King Agag and all the cattle and such, all the rams and bullocks and things to offer sacrifice. He would rather him to have done what the Word of God says. And we must give obedience to God. You know, we can say, well, you know, Lord knows my heart and He knows my heart's in the right place. Well, how does He know our heart's in the right place? When we do what He says, obey from the heart. In 1 John 3:22, the Bible says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. You know, that's what worship is all about. That's what service to God is all about. Doing what's acceptable and pleasing in His sight. Did you know it's also in the past that God has shown displeasure, anger, and wrath to those who have disobeyed His commandments? Let's turn over to Numbers chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. I want to just give you a couple examples. When God poured out His wrath, or His wrath was shown because some did not do what He told them to do. Numbers chapter 11. Well, look at verse 1 beginning. It says, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and Moses prayed unto the Lord, and the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And so this was something that happened here, because they displeased God. They disobeyed God by their complaining and such. And so God poured out or showed His anger there. In Judges 2, verse 12 also, when they forsook God in order to serve idols, the Bible said they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord unto anger. You know what happened here? When God said in His commandments, thou shalt not bow yourself down to these graven images. In the Ten Commandments, He told them absolutely not to do these things. But when they broke and transgressed His word, when they failed to obey what God said, that brought about anger from the Lord Himself. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 6, I'm going to talk about how this last verse says that the wrath of the Bible tells the wrath of God abideth on the children of disobedience. In other words, when we obey God, we don't have that wrath. But the wrath of God belongs to those who are disobedient to Him. Just like in Romans chapter 2, about tribulation and anguish upon all those who are disobedient, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so that's something God said. God's not a respecter of persons. When we disobey Him, He's not pleased with that. But when we obey Him from the heart, that's what He wants from us. And when we give God what He wants, that's the last point of the lesson. It doesn't matter what we want. What we might want to do. And there's a lot of worship today that is not what God wants. It doesn't matter what we, the people, the church of our Lord today, may want to do. But what is important? It's only important what God wants. What He expects of His people to do today. In Genesis chapter 4, I want to go look at an example of Cain. You know, the Bible tells us to use Cain as an example. The book of Hebrews. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 4, if you will. Let's read about these two brothers and the sacrifices that was given here. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, and in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering He had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Verse 6 says, the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You know, that's something it talked about to us to do. You know, we have to realize that when we do well, when we do what God says, God accepts that. But when we do not do that, God does not accept that. That's why the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that He is an example of one who, his offering was one that pleased God. It was one that was by faith. It was one that was accepted. Abel was one who gave God what he wanted of the firstlings of his flock. Evidently, God had commanded that for him to give. And so that was, he gave what God wanted. You know, today, with the worship styles that's in the religious world today, yeah, today worship can be what pleases man than rather what pleases God. We might all just have this all this beautiful singing. We've got to add instrumental music to all that. We've got to have the choirs and solos. And all that may be pleasing to men or to man itself. But what does it please God is the question. I believe we understand it. If it is not what God wants, it is not pleasing to Him. And that is the bottom line of the lesson tonight. We've got to give God what He wants. And what His commandments are for us to follow today. They want to follow His commandments without question of what He says. And if instrumental music was in the Scriptures, then we would follow it. But because there's the silence of the Scriptures, because it is not given, just like all the other things I just mentioned, the choirs and the solos, that's why we don't do those things here at West Boonville. Because we know God only wants and will accept what is right from His Word. It's like the Bible says, we're going to speak as the Bible speaks, speaking as the oracles of God. They come up with that slogan. We're going to speak as the Bible speaks and be silent as the Bible is silent. And really, until we find a Scripture that gives us authority to use things that are unauthorized, then we are to not do those things because they're not pleasing to God. If you're here tonight and you just are subject to the imitation of God, we know that the only thing, like we mentioned, obedience. Obedience is something God wants from you. And you know, to obey the gospel, God is pleased with that. You know, the Bible tells us the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. And that's something that heaven takes notice of. When somebody obeys the gospel, there's rejoicing in heaven. You know, you can cause that to happen tonight by your obedience to God. We can know that that takes place because the Bible tells us it does. You know, how we do this is by obeying every instruction, Lord, to be saved. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to Him must believe that He is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. Do you want to diligently seek God by faith in Him? Then you need to repent of your sins. The Bible tells us, Acts 17, verse 30, it's a command of God that we repent of all of our sins because God commands repentance. He wants us to turn away from a lifestyle of sin because we cannot please God in the flesh, Romans 8, verse 8. Then we must repent. We must confess Christ to be the Son of God. Romans 10, verse 10 tells us, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then baptism into Christ to put on Christ. You know, that last step is usually what people say, well, I don't know if I need to be baptized. What would we do? Then we want to please God. We've got to do everything God says in order to please Him, do every command of God. Don't leave anything out. Because if we leave some commandments and say, well, they're not really required that I do this, then we're really not pleasing God. But baptism is that new birth that puts us into Christ. And if you're here tonight and you're subject to that invitation call, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.